All right, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. Here we go on a Friday afternoon. The world has changed in the last week or two, but the outdoors are still happening. If we shelter in place in the goose blind, I guess, let's talk about that. North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist Doug Lear joins us. Hello, Doug.
Hey, good afternoon, Mick. Good afternoon. You know, and when you bring that up, It kind of grounds me just a little bit because the world has changed. I mean, yeah. Nobody's going to argue that this is not breaking news on a Friday afternoon, that the world has changed and how much it's changed in a week and in 2 weeks and a month over the course of time. But one thing that I constantly, and I've said this literally for years, is, you know, you get outdoors and you look at the sky and the sun, the clouds, the wind, the rain, the snow, it's a constant. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not a good constant, don't get me wrong. but the fact of the matter is, and over the course of generations and lifetimes and centuries, legitimately, the outdoors has been such a tool for resetting people's mind, for maybe refreshing their spirit, recharging their soul just a little bit. It's not like we try to tell people that you can just forget about everything in life, whether it's work or families or, you know, the coronavirus and all that other stuff. But there's something to be said for maybe disconnecting. We talk about it with electronics and, you know, mm-hmm. with phones and things like that.
Get off social media.
Yeah. And now more than ever, I think that's a message that we continue to say from a game and fish standpoint, from even just getting out and going bird watching or getting out and going for a walk, is that I don't think people, you know, seldom say, gosh, you know what? I spent way too much time outdoors yesterday or last week. So we really want to continue to bring that message to the forefront, Mick.
And for the folks who tune in to this segment every week, who are active, avid hunters, fishermen, turkey gobblers.
We have trappers. We have people that are listening that have been out in the Badlands and they've shot a mountain lion or a moose or an elk. They've trapped bobcats. They've caught catfish from the Red River. I mean, they come from
by hand.
They've been
noodling or whatever that's called.
Yep, yeah. They've been noodling catfish. They've been spearing pike and that's one of the things. You know, it's like, I hear it from farmers as well. It's like, I just need to get out in the tractor.
Yeah.
I just really need to just get out in the tractor, get away from, you know, again, not escape from the world, but get away from it for a little while.
Sure. All right. So we can do all of that outdoors. And it, like you said, it is refreshing, invigorating, healthy mentally, physically, emotionally, and all that. And again, you know, as I've said a few times here on the radio, that social distancing and all that, we're pretty darn good at that. For the most folks who live in the Dakotas and Minnesota, 6 feet is a little too close to begin with.
I think you're right, Mick. And I mean, we're not making light of it. I mean, you got to laugh. Laughter is one of the greatest medicines that you can have. But when you're absolutely right. When it comes to social distancing, you know, there's legitimately, guys and gals, farmers and ranchers that are listening going, you know, every once in a while I get kind of lonely out here. I wish I could see somebody. I had a buddy of mine that on last Sunday afternoon, he took, you know, the quintessential Sunday drive, mm-hmm. you know, 435 miles. He goes, I couldn't believe how few people were out there. And he said, in a way it was kind of refreshing. And then in a way it's almost kind of like, whoa, where is everybody at? So there's two different ways to look at it. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, going outdoors hunting, there are a lot of people that love to go out and go fishing just with their son or with their neighbor or with their brother they love. There's also, you know, many people that is like their one solo activity, mm-hmm. is they get outdoors, and whether it's, you know, spring turkey hunting opening up on April 15th, the spring snow goose hunting season is open, you know, whether it's just going out there by themselves or having that one other person. And I know, and I get the message that's being conveyed, but to tell you the honest truth, if you jump into the truck whether it's in March of 2020 or whether it was deer season of 1985 and somebody had the flu or somebody didn't feel well, you didn't want to be with them anyway.
Right.
So it really doesn't matter, you know, what the cold or what the flu is. You don't necessarily want to be. So it really, when it comes to the outdoors, kind of has a way of working itself out on its own, Mick.
For sure. All right. Well, what can we do out there? What kind of seasons do we have?
Well, let's start off and talk about snow geese. I kind of alluded to that just a little bit. And there's two walks of life. You've got the people that just want to get outdoors to get away from it all. And they want to head out there and just go for a drive. And they're not hunters. They just want to, you know, see the blue sky. And one of the cool things about this spring migration of snow geese is you don't have to be a hunter to appreciate this.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I mean, earlier this week, I started to see some pictures from down in Sargent County of South Central North Dakota, down at Tewaukan Refuge. And it's the same picture, the same place, but it's a different year. And it could be Huron, it could be Aberdeen, it could be Devil's Lake, it could be Rugby. But when you see legitimately the massive clouds of snow geese, and here's the other qualifier: if you're not a hunter, these are snow geese. Mm-hmm. These are not the Canada geese that cause problems to your soybean fields, so you can't appreciate these.
Okay.
In fact, these birds, the reason that we actually have a spring snow goose hunt going on is because these birds are doing the ultimate of trashing their own house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're destroying their own nesting grounds up in Canada
and feed.
Yeah, I mean, they're literally eating themselves out of house and home. Mm-hmm. So that's why back in 1999, this spring snow goose conservation order began. So that you know, there's a reason that this season is open. And one of the really fascinating things about the spring migration is when you see the massive clouds of snow geese. It's not locust. These are snow geese, and there can be literally a half a million to a million birds. And it can be deafening. I mean, sometimes you can't even hear yourself think if you get smack dab into the middle. It's really quite a fascinating migration in the springtime of year, Mick.
And it's also like rite of passage out of winter into spring.
Yeah.
I'm a little old school in so many ways. I still get the paper.
Right.
Walked out the other morning and you know, to pick up the paper, then mm-hmm. of course wipe it down with Clorox. But anyway, but I heard way up in the air,
yep,
geese flying north, and I stopped, and I didn't care how cool it was, and the fact that I was not well dressed, I stood there and watched and listened and enjoyed.
You and I have the same kind of mindset. Not to mention that we just live a short walk in between our houses, and it must have been Monday or Tuesday, and after supper, my daughter and I went for a walk, and then we met my wife and my son on the other side of the block, and they were walking, and I stopped and I listened. I'm like, hey, I hear sandhill crane.
Oh.
And we all stopped and we looked up there, and sure enough, there were some sandhill crane that were way up there migrating. And it's the same thing. You can live in downtown Fargo, or you can live in Minot or Dickinson, and you can be used to hearing trucks driving and the buzz. And you get to that point of day early in the morning, and you can hear whether it's a robin out the window or snow geese migrating, or Canada geese coming through, sandhill crane flying over. There's really something to be said. It's much, much better than when you're driving in your truck and you go, oh man, I knew I was going to need to get the brakes fixed. It's a lot better.
Yeah.
It's a lot better sound to stop and listen to, Mick.
It may be a little screeching involved, especially with the cranes, but a totally different kind of good.
Yeah. So when we talk about the huge numbers of snow geese, it's a little bit different than in the fall of the year. The springtime, what these birds are doing is they're migrating back. The push is on to get to their breeding grounds. Their dietary needs are different because what they're doing right now is it's similar to whether your cows are getting ready for calving season.
Mm-hmm.
Is that they're getting ready to nest, they're getting ready to lay eggs. So what those snow geese need is a different nutrient. You know, you feed your animals differently at different times of the year. Well, that's exactly what these snow geese are doing. What these snow geese are doing is building up the nutrients so that they can nest and that they can lay eggs. What they want is some of the first kind of insects and that are going to form in some of that sheet water. Mm-hmm. And when the land comes to life a little bit, when you get the sheet water out there, when you get the sun shining, we probably can't see it, but it's, you know, things are coming to life in that sheet water. So that's why in the fall of the year, you see geese in big, deep bodies of water, because what they're doing is they're using that energy to get south in their migration. The springtime of the year, so the migration is a little bit differently, is you don't see the birds as much in the big, deep waters in the fall, mm-hmm. as you do in the springtime. They're in that big sheet water areas. So if you're a hunter, what you're looking for is the first signs of snow geese. A lot of times in southeastern North Dakota, Richland County, Sargent County, heading over to McIntosh and Lemoore, then working their way up through Stutsman County in central North Dakota, you go over to Harvey and Rugby and Devil's Lake and back up over towards Kenmare and north of Minot. So it's really kind of cool. If you're a hunter or a non-hunter, you're still kind of following the same birds and you're kind of looking for them in the same place, Mick.
And every year they're a little bit different, aren't they?
Yeah.
As far as their path.
Yep, absolutely.
Are they a little bit further east this year?
Yeah, it shifts a little bit depending on where the warm temperatures and where things thaw out at. But typically, the Red River Valley with the sheet water is typically where you see more birds. As spring rolls on, you can just kind of follow the water, and that'll be leading you where the birds are at, Mick.
Okay, gotcha. North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist Doug Lear here on a Friday afternoon. We are going to take a quick break, come back with more after this in the North Dakota Corn Council studio. This is Farm Talk.